You're listening to The Chamber Connection, a monthly podcast from your Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo Chamber of Commerce, where we go behind the scenes to talk about business, community, and leadership, and uncover what's shaping our region and our future.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Chamber Connection. I'm your host, Darren Dunlop. Today, we have a very special guest joining us, Ed O'Keefe, the Chief Executive Officer of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. July is National Parks and Recreation Month, and what better way to celebrate than to visit with Ed about one of the most exciting projects in the history of our state. Ed, thank you so much for being here.
Darren, it is a pleasure to be with you and to be with the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. So, Ed, why don't you just give me a little bit of an introduction about yourself, where you're from, and how in the world did a gentleman get involved with the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library?
Serendipity. It was maybe providential. I am originally from Grand Forks, North Dakota. I was born and raised there. My family, my brother, my parents, my uncles, almost everyone in the family still lives in Grand Forks or the area. I left for college in 1996 and now got involved with the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library because I was at the Harvard Kennedy School doing a program in the Shorenstein Center, entirely expecting not to be in any sort of job like this ever. I was researching a book on Theodore Roosevelt, which I am currently writing, and the manuscript is due August 31st, 2021, by the way, so feverishly working on that book. And I met another person who was at the Kennedy School who was from North Dakota. You know, two North Dakota boys in a crowd tend to find one another, right? You just, it's like lost souls coming together. And wait, you're from North Dakota, I'm from North Dakota. And we got to talking, and he said, well, let me understand this. You're in a bit of a career transition, thinking about what's next. You're writing a book about Theodore Roosevelt, and you are from Grand Forks, North Dakota, graduated from Red River High School.
You're a Rough Rider.
I'm a Rough Rider, exactly.
Wow.
I can own that claim. And he said, I've got to introduce you to the governor and to the folks involved in the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library Foundation, and that kickstarted a conversation. I mean, it really was one of those things I never expected to do, and here I am.
Wow. Interesting how fate intermingles, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, I was in media for 20 years. I worked for ABC News and other outlets and was writing on the future of news and streaming, so how nonfiction and news will be treated in Hulu, Netflix, Apple, all kinds of different formats. And so I very much expected to continue on that path and write my book about Theodore Roosevelt. Maybe I'd join the board, but I didn't expect to be the CEO and leading the foundation.
Well, fantastic. I tell you what, why don't you just give us a current status of where we are with the Presidential Library, both in construction, that sort of thing.
Well, we're doing tremendously well, especially considering the headwinds of 2020. I mean, as you recall, in April of 2019, and not this prior, but the previous legislative session to the one that just concluded, the North Dakota State Legislature committed $50 million contingent on the foundation raising $100 million in private funds. That, in April of 2019, was an audacious and challenging proposal. In March of 2020, it became a little bit harder. I'm very pleased and enormously proud to say that one of the biggest of the three accomplishments we had in 2020 was to raise that $100 million and unlock the $50 million endowment from the state of North Dakota. We now have $155 million in cash and commitments to date, including that $50 million endowment. This is the first endowment that comes from the Legacy Fund, which I think is a very interesting sort of way to not just invest dollars from the state, but to actually challenge private philanthropy to double the state's commitment. And interestingly, and I don't think a lot of people understand this for perfectly natural reasons, is that the money never leaves the state. They've basically taken that $50 million and just moved it into a different account. And what we get are the proceeds of that investment. So it stays with the $8 billion now being invested in the legacy fund. And we, as a foundation, get for maintenance and operations the proceeds of the $50 million invested in that larger pool. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually a phenomenal prototype for other potential investments across the state. So number one, we raised the money, which was a major accomplishment. Number two, we passed the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library Conveyance Act of 2020. So we worked with the congressional delegation, Senators Hoeven and Kramer, Representative Armstrong, to put on page 5,577 of the omnibus bill, lots of things can get put in that omnibus bill, to get the right to acquire 93 acres of U.S. Forest Service land for the construction of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. That's enormous. I mean, you can't build a building without the land, right? It was either going to be private land, state land, federal land. It's federal land. That's complicated. Enormous debt of gratitude to our congressional delegation who helped make that possible in 2020. And then last, and certainly not least, we went through this phenomenal design competition. We selected an architect and a design concept. Snøhetta, who is a Norwegian and U.S. firm, is the design architect. You've got to take a look at some of the pictures. It's a phenomenal design. It's absolutely beautiful, gracefully built with, not against, nature. We can talk more about that. Mm-hmm. And they are working with JLG, who is a North Dakota-based firm, is the architect of record, and Confluence, who is our landscape architect of record, also a North Dakota-based firm, and J.E. Dunn, our construction manager, also a North Dakota-based firm. So we have this great internationally renowned design firm, Snøhetta, doing the design concept, but all North Dakota firms working on the construction and architecture.
Well, I will tell people, I did get the opportunity to look at this massive book that you brought in today. So sorry we can't share that with you on the podcast today, but it is fabulous. And we will talk a little bit more about the trlibrary.com website so people can follow along. But I guess the next question I would have for you is, why North Dakota? Obviously, we talked and we both have a long-standing admiration for Theodore Roosevelt. We do know that he kept coming back to North Dakota from his New York roots and kept coming back and coming back. But having a presidential library in North Dakota for a native New Yorker has got to be something very strange. So why was it chosen to be in North Dakota?
Well, I think you hit upon it at the top there, and it's National Parks Month, and Theodore Roosevelt's greatest legacy is conservation. The use of the land and the conservation of the land and the doubling in size of our national parks. So I think that first and foremost, why North Dakota from a practical perspective is that we will be able to build the only presidential library alongside a national park, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, the only park named for an individual, let alone a president. And that will give us not just the 93 acres of the land that we're developing for the presidential library itself, it will give us 75,000 acres in the South and North Unit and the Elkhorn for hiking, biking, horseback riding, hunting outside of the park boundaries, obviously. There's so many different things that we can do in this presidential library that isn't possible without the association and partnership of a national park. So that is first and foremost the practical reason. The spiritual reason is exactly what you touched upon. Theodore Roosevelt himself said, "I am as much of a Westerner as I am an Easterner." He, of course, famously said, "I would never have been president without my experiences in North Dakota." And I think more significant than that perhaps politically useful statement, late in his life in 1918, in a private letter to Senator Albert Fell of New Mexico, he said, "If you were to take away all the experiences of my life," and think about that, that's Theodore Roosevelt saying, take away the charge up Kettle Hill, take away the experience of being governor of New York or vice president ascending to the presidency upon the assassination of William McKinley, take away the 1912 run on the Bull Moose Progressive Party, take it all away. The one memory I would want to carry with me is my experiences in the West as a rancher. I truly believe that this time in TR's life was transformative. He came in the wake of tragedy. His wife and his mother died on the same day in the same house, February 14th, 1884. His father, interestingly, had died in that same room in that same house 6 years prior. So he essentially was orphaned at age 25 and lost his wife in childbirth. You know, he was devastated. He quit his job. He lost a political battle at the 1884 Republican convention, and he came to North Dakota not knowing what he was going to do with his life and who was going to help him get there. You know, there's this myth of the self-made man, particularly in TR's life, and there's so many people around him that helped him become who he was. And I think many of those people were Dakotans. They were the people, the hardscrabble ranchers and the people he met out west. And he's from a elite, high society. He has no need or real business to associate with people who are not of his class, so to speak. And he does. He does intentionally. And what he learns there becomes the basis of his political philosophy, which becomes the basis of his success and why he's remembered today. He turned his pain into purpose. And there is a healing quality to Theodore Roosevelt National Park, to the Badlands, and this incredibly special place that we have here in North Dakota. So I like to say that, you know, if you go to Sagamore Hill out east, that's his home in Oyster Bay, or if you go to the boyhood home, which they preserved after his death in New York City, it's like you're visiting Theodore Roosevelt's ghost. If you go out to the Badlands and you are in the West and you're just looking out at the bison or the elk or the beautiful horizon, you're with Theodore Roosevelt's spirit. And that's why North Dakota. This is the spiritual home of Theodore Roosevelt, and I think that a lot of people will feel what he felt when they visit.
That's fascinating. So do his ancestors, or I mean, well,
his descendants,
do they have the same feeling? Were they all in favor of this, or was there some bickering back and forth about what they should do?
Well, families never disagree
anything. Never.
Yeah, I mean, it's consensus is basically a synonym for family. Fortunately, we are blessed to have Serena Roosevelt, who is married to Theodore Roosevelt V, the great-great-grandson of Theodore Roosevelt through the eldest son line. We have also Kim Roosevelt, who is a descendant of Kermit Roosevelt, another of T.R.'s sons. We have the involvement of several other family members. We have talked with, you know, it's a big family. I mean, there are Theodore Roosevelt had six children, and there are multiple descendants down each of the branches in line. So not everyone can be on the board, but we have the involvement, consent, and approval of the Theodore Roosevelt descendants to move forward in this project. And I think that's particularly meaningful. I mean, I think we wanted the state of North Dakota, the community, obviously, of Medora, Billings County, and North Dakota, again, in general, and the Theodore Roosevelt descendants, the family, to be involved. And so very much so. I mean, I think that there have been fits and starts of what the Theodore Roosevelt Library could be and where it could be through since T.R. died. But there is large consensus that the West and Dakota was Theodore Roosevelt's adopted home, and it is a perfectly appropriate place for not only this honor, but the best place for the library.
Well, I think it's going to be fantastic, not only for the western part of the state, but also, you know, the entire state of North Dakota, because where I wanted to go next was really talking about presidential libraries. I've never had the fortune of being to a presidential library, so I'm not all that familiar, so I'm going to throw it back to you. So presidential libraries, how many of them are there? Are there people who make a point of coming to every presidential library? I guess in general, what can the state of North Dakota expect as far as drawing people in?
So this is not just a project for Medora or Billings County. It is a project that will have deep and meaningful impact for the entire state of North Dakota. I love talking with you, Darren, and the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce, because this is an experience that really will start in Fargo. I mean, what's fascinating to me is if you go to Sioux Falls, you are on the far eastern side of South Dakota, and you have a long transverse along the interstate to get to Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse Memorial, the Black Hills, Deadwood, etc. But the moment you step foot in Sioux Falls, you feel a connection to the western part of the state, right? Almost like you can't leave the state of South Dakota without seeing some of these things, right? And the experience does start in Sioux Falls. And I went purposefully again to experience that and see how they made that connectivity. And I think that's the opportunity here is, you know, I've had so many great conversations with folks about this project, and someone joked to me that if they had to do it over again in 1889, they might have considered making it East and West Dakota, not North and South Dakota, right? And so, you know, and I grew up in Grand Forks. I'm from the eastern side of the state. I wasn't West River, but that I love the western part of our state, and I love the connection that we have between the agriculture of the Red River Valley and the ranching of West River. And I think that there's a real opportunity here to connect these incredible communities across the state. And though this is a project that will be based in Medora, it has a distributed effect across the entire state, especially if we embrace it. I feel like, one, we've taken the approach that if we design this for everyone within 15 miles, it will be meaningful for those who come from 15,000 miles away. So we want the communities of Fargo, Moorhead, and West Fargo to feel ownership and a part of this project. It is our project, not their project, right? Yes, it's going to be based there, but I really feel like that's the huge opportunity that a presidential library brings, is the concentric rings of entrepreneurship and investment and opportunity that come with what will inevitably be the state's largest tourist attraction. I mean, the Theodore Roosevelt National Park and the Medora Musical are the state's largest tourist attraction right now, before the presidential library exists. So this is a huge opportunity for the entire state. And then just a quick note on presidential libraries, there are only 13 in the national archive system. There are other unofficially official presidential libraries. We will not be joining the official National Archives list of presidential libraries simply because we will not have the archive of Theodore Roosevelt. We're working with Dickinson State University and the Theodore Roosevelt Center to digitize the archive, but everyone we have spoken to has said this is a liberating opportunity because you don't have the financial responsibility to actually house the archives. You can digitize what you want, make it available to the world, and concentrate on really being an experience for those who come and visit. So we'll be a presidential library, really the only 14th in the entire nation, which is incredibly unique. This is what people will know North Dakota for, right? This will be our Mount Rushmore, in a sense, not literally, obviously, but symbolically, that will be the thing. The Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, the Medora experience, particularly with the Medora Musical and the great work of the Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation, will be what I think a large part of the nation and perhaps the world will turn and say, ah, that's in North Dakota.
That is so exciting. I can't wait. I can't wait. Ed, one of the things that when I was perusing your website, the thing that kept popping up and popping up is Living Library. And I would like it for you to talk a little bit more about it. I think you touched on it a little bit when we started, but I'd really like you to delve a little more into what you and the vision of the Board of Regents is for this Living Library.
The idea of a Living Library is to look to and think about the past, to understand the present, and to work together to make a better future. Theodore Roosevelt's legacy is not in doubt. It is well established. So why create a presidential library to a president who has been gone from the earth for 100 years? It's because his philosophy continues to inspire today, and it can inspire tomorrow. Our pillar principles are leadership, conservation, and citizenship. And the idea of this library is to draw people into what we like to say is a pilgrimage in Medora, to learn from, not just about, Theodore Roosevelt. And we've kind of used as a guiding principle that we want to be the presidential library where kids drag their parents. Parents don't drag their kids, right? and this goes, we were talking before we had this conversation about how you wrote your third grade paper about Theodore Roosevelt, and that was something that stuck with you your entire life. That's exactly it. If you can get to kids and impart the lessons of leadership and citizenship and conservation, what their role is as a citizen of this republic, right? The In the Arena speech is commonly known as In the Arena for good reason, but it was titled Citizenship in a Republic. What are our responsibilities as citizens of this nation? We will be celebrating on July 4th, 2026, hopefully right after the opening of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the founding of the United States of America. And many of the issues that Theodore Roosevelt faced in his time, right? Rapidly advancing technology, changing society, a wave of immigration, changing the composition of the country and the definition of what it means to be an American, the balance of labor and economy, the wealth inequalities of the time. I mean, all of the issues that we talk about today are ones that Theodore Roosevelt and the American people faced at the turn of the century. And what they did and the decisions they made and the commitments they did together made the American century. So I think it's one thing to design a library that's a great experience, and you've got objects under glass, and you reflect on history, and you come out inspired. That's wonderful. But what impact can we have? What partnerships can we develop with the National Park? So this is the only library where you can horseback ride to. You can go out on a hike afterward. You can take a bike ride on the Mottohay right through and into the National Park, right? There's so much opportunity here to create a living library in the sense that it's action-oriented. You have thoughtful reflection about the lessons of leadership, conservation, and citizenship, but then you get in the arena. And you don't have to become president of the United States to make a difference, right? You can be on the Chamber of Commerce. You can be on the City Council. You can be on the school board. You can run for student body president, right? These are the things and the lessons we want to impart to people, that being involved, getting involved, thoughtfully involved, as Theodore Roosevelt was, is the real lesson and legacy of his life.
I have the In the Arena quote behind my desk, and I've seen it in so many offices across.
Isn't that extraordinary? I mean, LeBron James has In the Arena on his shoes before every single game. Miley Cyrus has a tattoo of In the Arena. You have it behind your desk, right?
The three of us are always put together in the same combination.
And then Darren, I've always sort of made that connection. It's Miley, LeBron, and Darren. Yeah, the triumvirate, right?
Wow.
But isn't that amazing? I mean, Theodore Roosevelt died in 1919. He's been gone from this earth for over 100 years. His words and the actions that he took that connected to those words continue to inspire us to this day, and they can tomorrow. And that's the idea of a living library.
Huh. Ed, I do want to touch base. You talked about the fact that the architect firm has been chosen. The funding is basically taken care of. So what is next? What is the timeline that we are looking at for construction?
Well, I wish the funding were fully taken care of. But as you've experienced in projects like, I don't know, the Fargo Dome or the Alaris Center or the...
How about the diversion? The diversion is a good one right now.
Yeah, exactly. These things tend to cost more than you would think at the start. And, we have said publicly that the project will cost more than $100 million. We have raised $100 million. So therefore, we are still raising money. And I think that's important also, and I should have mentioned this at the top, one of the things that was most inspiring about the $100 million that's been raised is that it came from those with North Dakota roots or North Dakota businesses or citizens of North Dakota. I mean, Rob and Melanie Walton are the founding benefactors of the TR Library. They committed $50 million. That's been very publicly acknowledged, and we are enormously grateful for their commitment. Melanie Walton was born in Williston, North Dakota. She was raised right across the border in Sidney, Montana. She's a third-generation graduate of Dickinson State University. But for her connection to North Dakota and the meaningfulness of this project, they would not be committing $50 million to the project, right? But that's only half, you know? I mean, there was $50 million that had to be raised in a very short period of time in the middle of a pandemic that prevented you from holding any real large events or getting together even one-to-one. I mean, people weren't all that excited about going out to lunch with you when with a stranger to talk about fundraising. And it was North Dakotans who have a connection to this community, who believe in this state, who want to see this successful, that made that commitment. But we do have a long way to go, and I think of this, you know, we want people involved, right? It's great to get $50 million. Of course we want to raise $50 million, but we want $26 too. We want people who are in the arena for this. This is the opportunity for everyone. We want kids at schools to raise 26 cents at a time for us. This is not meant to be a project that is exclusive. It is inclusive. There's nothing better than a tribute to Theodore Roosevelt than getting involved. So, any way that people can be involved, we welcome it. The architecture right now is in the design concept phase, which means we've got schematic design, design development, and construction documentation and administration to go. So we're in phase one of a four-phase process. We believe and hope that we will have shovels hit dirt as early as late 2022, more likely early 2023. That'll be dependent upon the weather, of course, mm-hmm. and the complexity of the building and the project that will be determined over the next probably 6 to 8 months. So the more time that we need to make our goal might affect when we start construction. The goal is to open in the summer of 2025, or at least in time to be a part of that celebration of the 250th anniversary of America on July 4th, 2026. So we want just enough time to get our sea legs underneath us in 2025 to be prepared for that celebration of not just us, but all of America in 2026.
And I think it's very important to really point out that this library will cost the average taxpayer not one penny. Not one penny. It's voluntary. And it comes from the legacy fund.
Not one penny. And the legacy fund never leaves the state.
Yep.
I mean, it costs the taxpayer nothing, zero. There's not one dime, as you point out, Darren, that is coming from the state. And if this proves a successful model where the state keeps the money and the investment and the proceeds go to the cultural institution, wow, North Dakota has created a new model of public-private partnership that can be replicated, not just in this state, but across the entire nation.
Very exciting. Well, Ed, I tell you what, let's do one final thing as we wrap up here. And first of all, thank you very much for flying into New York or from New York just for this particular interview, because you have nothing else going on, right?
Well, yes, we are not raising any more of the money, as I just mentioned. So there's nothing else I'll be doing. It's just, well, we're seeing LeBron and Miley later, but
nice.
We like to see you as a triumvirate, Darren. So that's the other item on the agenda, is to meet
nice.
With them.
Well, please give them my best.
I will.
I'm going to be tied up the rest of the day.
They'll be sorry to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But so tell us how the average person can follow the project, go in, see some of the conceptual designs, and really find out about the history of this project.
Well, trlibrary.com/donate is the way to get financially involved. And as I said, we welcome everyone's contribution. We believe that this project needs the people's support and the public's support. So please, trlibrary.com/donate is the way to get financially involved. We would love for you to take a look at the designs and concepts. We have all of them available also on trlibrary.com. We have opened an office in Medora, and we'll soon have an additional, it's more of an administrative office in Bismarck, and would love to develop a presence here in Fargo as well. And we will do that. I mean, over the course of the years, we want to have a physical presence in several cities and communities across the state, so you can have a local place to go and see the designs. Right now, the Medora office has the design concepts. If you get to Medora this summer or anytime throughout the year, please come by. We're right there on 350 Main Street. We're right across from the post office and the Rough Rider Hotel. You can't miss us. We have lots of people walk in and say, "Is this the Presidential Library?" We say, "No, this is the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library office." But all the designs are there. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to hear your feedback. And again, trlibrary.com has everything we are doing. We publicly post everything. I mean, one of the other interesting things about this public-private partnership is you know, we feel an obligation to be as transparent and candid as possible. Though we have not taken any state money to date, and though we will never receive anything but the investment proceeds on this $50 million that stays with the state, we feel a degree of transparency is needed in this project for trust, for public trust. Mm-hmm. And since this is the first time the state has done something like this, we've gone above and beyond what I think we probably are obligated to do. We put all of our bylaws and trustee information, design concepts, minutes, all is on the website, publicly available for anyone to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, fantastic. Well, Ed, thank you again for taking the time and to sharing all this information with us today. And thank you guys for listening today. If you want to learn more about the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library, once again, go to trlibrary.com. And if you're interested in finding out more about the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber, please go to fmwfchamber.com. Ed, thank you very much. It's been such a joy visiting with you today. And I hope you come back and join us again very soon for another episode of the Chamber Connection.